Good morning. Before we jump into our text this morning, I want to make a recognition or a few recognitions. The month of October is called Pastor Appreciation Month, but I want to extend that to all of our staff. And so make sure you let them know that you appreciate them. They've been working tirelessly over the last several months, and we've done a lot of different changes, and I'm proud of the work they've done, and so I want to thank them, but also, would you give them a round of applause and thank them for what they've done? So I got a little something for them. I'll start with Chris so he can get off stage instead of looming in the background. Chris, thanks, bro. Appreciate you. Jawan. As Jawan comes up, Chip, I got a little something for you, man. Appreciate you and all you've done and all you do. You the man, Pastor.
No, you the man.
Nah, you the man. Jawan, thanks, bro. Appreciate you. I'll shake your hand. I didn't mean to. Yeah, good thing they're not recording this. Danielle is sick this morning. She is tossing cookies. So pray for her and just make sure you let these folks know that that you appreciate them. I appreciate them more than you will ever know. So this morning, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Surprise, surprise. We're going to be there, and we're going to look at what happens after Jesus gives this sermon. As a matter of fact, this is still part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's not over with just the Beatitudes. And he says two important things. Those are the two things I want to look at this morning. The first thing he's going to say is that you are the salt of the earth. And the next thing he says is you are the light of the world. And so you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. And what is the point of this? Most of us have heard sermons on these two topics, or maybe they've been combined like they are today. But I want to make sure that you remember and that you understand that they are connected to the text right before. They're connected to the Beatitudes. So when Jesus says you are to be poor in spirit, or when he says that you are to be someone who mourns and someone who's gentle and someone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, someone who is merciful, someone who is pure in heart, someone who's a peacemaker, someone who gets persecuted for righteousness, what happens when we do those things? What happens when we fall into those categories and we actually live out the Beatitudes? Well, after we've recognized what we are or who we should be in the Beatitudes, now we've got to look at what we must be. We see who we were or who we are. We're to be poor in spirit, mourning, all these different things. And now, how do we live that out? And it is in this context that Jesus makes these statements. It's in this context that Jesus tells them that you are the salt of the earth. It's in this context that he says, you are the light of the world. And so when we live out the Beatitudes, when we live out the first eight statements that Jesus says, when we live those things out, we're going to affect the world. And so what I want us to get today is that our responsibility is how we affect the world. How do we affect those around us? How do we affect things around us? And so what I want to do is I want to read these few verses 13 through 16, and then pull out of there these three concepts that Jesus talks about us being. And so he says this, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. Then he makes another statement. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill, or a city situated on a hill, cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather you put it on a lampstand so that it could give light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and do what? And give glory to God in heaven. The first thing we want to pull out of this, or the first idea that we want to grab from this, is that you are salt. Now, I don't know about you, but I like salt. It's hereditary. My father loves salt, and so I like salt too. And so I like salt on everything. Watermelon deserves salt. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's right. You know, I never forget when I went to Israel, they had watermelons one afternoon. And so they cut them, and we started putting salt on them, and we almost got thrown out of the country by the natives. They're like, what are you doing? It was like, it's good. Try it. And so this says that you are the salt of the earth. And the thing is this, we're not to live in isolation. We're not to live in isolation. We don't become the church, build up walls and say, okay, let's keep everybody out. Far too many folks do that, though. They say, well, you are defiled and you are dirty and you shouldn't come here. It's totally antithetical to what Jesus teaches. It's totally antithetical to what we are to be as the church. We're not to build walls and keep people out. The church is there to get out to people. And so Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You're not supposed to live in isolation. Now, there are guys who are monks. You've probably heard of them. You've probably seen them in movies. But monks, what do monks do? Monks go to a monastery, and they do some pretty good things, like they pray a lot, and they serve one another. But here's the deal. They don't leave the monastery. They just stay in there, and they isolate themselves. And they miss out on what Jesus says about how we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We are supposed to impact the world. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9, Peter is writing and he says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What Peter's saying here is, look, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, you're not supposed to be isolated. You're supposed to be declaring his goodness. And so we begin to think of this concept. It says, you are the salt of the earth. How does salt affect the earth? How can salt affect, if we are salt, how can we affect the earth? Well, the thing about it, there's two ways that I want to bring out. There's probably more out there, but the first way is this. Salt preserves. It preserves and it acts as an antiseptic. Salt preserves and acts like an antiseptic. I don't know how many of you know about the good old days, but before there was this such a thing as a refrigerator or an ice box, you had to preserve meat differently than you do in a freezer or in your fridge. And there are a couple of common ways to do that. One was to smoke it. Thank God for smoked meat products, like tasso and sausage and those good things. Glory. The other thing that you could have done is to salt it. And you put this salt on it because bacteria doesn't like salt. If there's enough salt on something, bacteria will not get on it and cause it to rot. And so we would salt meat. You may have heard of salt pork before, but it acts as a preservative. It keeps that meat from going bad. It also acts as an antiseptic. And now, those of you who are wondering what an antiseptic is, it means it kills germs. It kills bad stuff. Maybe you've been sick before and you had a sore throat, and the doctor or your mama says, go gargle with salt water. And the idea is that salt water will get in there, and it will clean it out, and it will begin to kill the bacteria and all the bad stuff. And so salt acts to preserve things by making sure bacteria doesn't come along, and it also kills bacteria. So what do you say? You say, what does that have to do with us? First of all, it implies that the world is rotten. Think about that. The world is rotten. If you are to be the salt and you are to preserve something or to be an antiseptic for something, it implies that something is going bad. And so the world is rotten. The things around us are not in really good condition. And you say, well, where is it so rotten? I'm glad you asked. Let me give you a few examples. Last Sunday when you went to bed, you may have been oblivious to this, but somebody decided to bring up several weapons into a hotel room in Las Vegas and shoot as many people as he could that were close together at a concert. Our world is rotten. Some folks decide, let's blow ourselves up because we don't like other people. And let's kill as many people we can with us. Our world is rotten. If you put on a TV for 5 minutes on a news station and listen to the politics that go on around our world is rotten. Marriages are being torn apart day after day after day because of this thing called pornography. And both men and women are addicted to it. Our world is rotten. The divorce rate is through the roof. That's for those who even decide to get married. So many children today are being born out of wedlock at a record pace. Our world is rotten. You think about the poverty and the greed that goes around the world. Our world is rotten. Think about the drugs that flood the streets of not only our world, but even our city. Our world is rotten. Think about all the diseases that are passed from person to person and realize that our world is rotten. And Jesus says that Christians are to be the salt of the earth. We're to act like an antiseptic. We need to clean these things up. We are to have influence on those who are struggling with these things. We are to be able to help preserve this world until Jesus comes back and his kingdom is fulfilled. Folks, our community should be better because Emmanuel Baptist Church is in it. Now, we can't fix all the problems. We can't destroy diseases, but we can love those who have them. Maybe we can protect ourselves and sexually transmitted diseases, things like that. You can avoid those by being pure. You can love someone who has a different opinion from you and be civil with them. We are to affect our world, and our community should be better because the church is there cleaning it out, preserving it. Why? The whole point of this Sermon on the Mount, if you look at the beginning of it, Jesus begins to sit down and teach, and the first thing he says is, the kingdom of heaven is yours. The kingdom of heaven is God's rule. And the idea is that when the church is there, God's rule should be there as well. And so salt preserves. Salt acts as an antiseptic. The second thing that salt can do is that salt provides flavor. Right? It provides savor, which is good stuff. It prevents tastelessness. I love food. You could probably wonder why, or that there's no evidence of that. But food's good, right? I love salty food. Like, you can offer me sweet stuff all day, and if there's a salty alternative, I will probably take the salty alternative. I love savory things. And so Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. You are to provide flavor in your community. You are to provide flavor in your home. Because without Christians, the world tells us that we're boring. But without Christianity, our world would be tasteless. Christians are to provide savor. We are to provide taste. We are to provide a reason for people to be around us. The world without Christ is very tasteless. It's not a place you want to be. And we are to affect the world corporately, but we are also to affect the world individually. How are you providing taste to those around you? Those you work with? Those living in your home, how are you affecting them as a Christian? How are you affecting them as the salt of the earth? Those are some things you need to think about. Those are some things you need to be intentional about. How am I affecting others? But Jesus doesn't give us one metaphor. He gives us two. The second one is that you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. I don't know if you've ever been driving in the countryside and where there's no lights, there's not a lot of street lights, you've been way in the country, and you can look ahead and see these lights just up there. Maybe you can't pick out anything, but you notice that the sky is illuminated far off. I remember as a teenager, we lived in the country. And you could tell on Friday night when Eunice High had a ball game, because if you looked toward Eunice, you could see where the stadium was and all the lights were still on. And it just illuminated the sky. And Jesus says, you are to be the light of the world. He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And so what he's saying is, when there is light out there, you can't hide light. If I turn off all the lights in here today, or if we had them all turned off, and I put on the smallest light possible, you would see that light. Because light dispels darkness. And notice what he says. He says, you are the light of the world. Who is Jesus talking to? He's talking to believers, but he's not talking to seminary students. He's talking to common people who are there on the hillside with him. He's not talking about people who are philosophers. He's not talking about people who are experts. He's not talking about people who know it all. He's talking to everyday common people. You, plural, all of you are the light of the world. You say, but I'm a nobody. Good. Jesus is talking to you. You are the light of the world. Let me give you two ways in which light, or two things light does. First thing is light exposes darkness. Again, if we turn off all the lights and I put on the smallest amount of light that we can find, you would be able to see that light because it exposes the darkness. You know it's dark when you see a little bit of light. Or when you see no light, you know how dark it is. And so the light is to expose darkness. And there is darkness in our world, and we call it sin. When you're around folks, I'm not saying you go and beat them up and say, you are a sinful person. How dare you? But the way you live your life should make them say, there's something about you, and there's something about me, and there's something wrong with me. because they are exposed to their sin. Again, we don't beat people up. We don't hate people. We don't try to beat them down and hurt them. But the way we live, the way we talk should expose sin. The second thing is that light shows the way out of darkness. Light shows the way out of darkness. Have you ever been in a really dark room and you get disoriented? And you have no clue how to get out. You don't have no clue how to get around. You have no clue what may be in front of you. And all you need is a little bit of light. And you know how to get out. And so we, as the light of the world, are to be torches for people on their walk of life, helping them realize that the only way out is through Jesus Christ. It says, you are the light of the world. You are to help people out of darkness. Christians, you are to lead people away from darkness and into the light. Which brings us to the last concept, and that's this. You are to affect the world. If people can't tell that you're any different, you're not affecting the world. Jesus goes on to say in the last few verses, starting in verse 15, he says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and he gives light for all who are in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before men, so they can see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. If you back up to verse 13, the second part of that, he says, but if the salt loses its flavor, or loses its taste, loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled on. In the world of the first century, they didn't have pure salt. You wouldn't have found it on your table in granules like we find it today. It's actually very, very much a commodity, very much worth a lot. You may have heard the phrase, he's not worth his salt. And that's because salt was used to pay people. It was a form of money in some areas. And so if you're not worth your salt, that means you're not worth your wage. But because salt was not pure, sometimes they got a few more impurities than they got the actual salt, and so it didn't taste salty. There wasn't enough salt there. And so what they did was they threw it out in the street. They threw it out in the street because that's where you threw everything you didn't want out. And I mean everything you didn't want out. You threw it out into the street. It's the garbage pile. It's the sewage dump. It's useless. Jesus says, if you're not going to be salty, you're useless to me. He says, if you're going to light a lamp and put a basket over it, that's just ridiculous. It makes no sense. So why would you call yourself a Christian, but you won't expose darkness? How can you call yourself a Christian, yet you don't lead people out of darkness? How can you say you are salt, but you provide no antiseptic and you provide no preservative? How can you say you are salt, yet you provide no taste? What Jesus is saying here is that a Christian who doesn't act like a Christian, you're useless. That may be harsh. But what he's saying is these two concepts don't go together. They make no sense. What idiot would light a lamp and put it under a basket? The whole point of lighting a lamp is to provide light. Who would get salt that doesn't taste like salt? It has no use. So what he's saying is when you live out the Beatitudes, when you're poor in spirit and you mourn and you are gentle and you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to be salt and light. And it's there, you, everyday, common person who calls yourself a Christian, you will affect the world. This is a statement for missions. Not just foreign missions, but local in your house missions. At work missions, at school missions. You are to affect those around you. And so the question is this, how bright is your light? Jesus says you are the light of the world. He also says, I'm the light of the world. So you're like, well, which one's which? Well, we're only the light of the world as it relates to Jesus. So he trumps us all. And so Jesus, however, says, because of your relation to me, you are the light of the world. And so the question is, how bright are you? There are different kinds of lights. If you ever go to Lowe's or a Home Depot or stuff like that, and you go to the lights, and they have them on, and you can see all the different brightnesses and all the different things. Maybe you go look at the lamps, and you notice that some are bright, and some are pretty. Some are made for light, and some are made to be decorative. In your house, you may have at night a nightlight. But here's the deal. Jesus doesn't call us to be nightlights. Nightlight is good to make sure you don't stub your toe when you're walking to the bathroom at night, but it does you no good when you want to read a book. And so Jesus says you are the light of the world, not nightlights. You're not supposed to hide yourself. You are the salt of the earth. You are to be someone who preserves and provides taste. You're to be a bright light, not a decorative lamp. When we live out the Beatitudes, we become the light and the salt. And people are going to see our life. They're going to see your speech. They're going to see what you do. And the hope is that you are living out life as light and salt. And the result is that they will give praise to God. Not you, but to your Father. The way you speak, the way you act, where your passions are, they will affect the way people perceive your God. What I mean by that is this. If I go and ask someone that you work with or that you spend the day with, hey, tell me about his God. Tell me about her God. And they will tell me about your God based on the way you talk and act. What kind of God are you showing the people? There's an old saying that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's not true. This is what's called a salt block or a salt lick. And the whole point of this is to, well, it gives animals minerals, but it also gives them salt that they need, and it makes them drink water. You give someone enough salt, they're going to be looking for something to drink. This is a block of salt that's rather heavy. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." And so I wonder when people rub up on you, what do they taste? When people are around you, do they begin to thirst for righteousness? When people see what you do and the way you talk, does it make them want something else? See, you can lead a horse to water and you can make him drink if you give him enough salt. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. What are we making people thirsty for? When you live out the Beatitudes, you will change people's lives. So how are you doing? How are you living that out? I pray that you search your heart. And you ask what kind of light you're giving off. You ask what kind of salt you're giving out. Are you really affecting our world for positive, for God? Or do you need to be thrown away? Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Will you stand? And as Drake plays, you spend time with God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time at his feet. Maybe you need to confess some things and say, God, I've messed up in these areas. Maybe you're not being salty enough. And God's not saying that I'm going to throw you out of my family. But he's saying that when you act this way, you're not acting like you claim to be. Are you salty? Are you bright? Don't be a nightlight. Be a bright light.